Hey, everybody, there's a couple of people we want to thank for supporting us this month on Patreon, starting with Aaron C. Hollis,
Adam Marks,
Amanda Harris,
Andrew Richardson,
Ashton Gebhardt,
Benjamin Brown,
Brett Macris,
Curtis LaRocque,
Demand Ryan,
Dan Snow,
Daniel Fuentes,
Denny Hack,
Dennis Scott,
Eduardo Martinez,
Enrique Del Castillo,
Aaron Dorian,
Gabriella Romeo,
Jeffrey Risher,
Gerald Patrick,
Hugo Sanchez,
Jason Kelly,
Jessica Ashcraft,
Joe Crack,
John George,
Jonathan John,
Joseph Kelly,
Joshua W. Bronxson,
Kaylin Swift,
Catherine Annenson,
Kendall Wilson,
Kevin Kleinrod,
Kieran Broderick,
Lee Brown,
Luana Thomas,
Luis Alberto,
Luke Asink,
Mark Kiefer,
Matt Fennell,
Megan Thigpen,
Michael Sturgeon,
Mike Dargenio,
Mitchell McDonald,
Nick Grayson,
Omnia Soul Art,
Perry Talaferro,
Primetime Pauly G,
Rahadian Sastrowardio,
Riley Trahan,
Tamala Rush,
Terrible Jason,
The 12 Banch,
Victor Perez,
W. Blaine,
Weens 234,
Will Buchanan,
and Zika's Viral Comics.
Thank you guys so much for your support, and now the live show.
This has been the Name Pronunciation Test.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming out to Comic Book Club Live. Please give it up for your hosts, Alex, Justin, and Pete.
Wow, yeah, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And that's our man of the booth, Boothman Prime.
Boothman Prime.
Oh, my gosh, you guys.
Don't knock over your beer.
How dare you? I haven't opened it yet.
Party foul.
Oh, wow. I kicked over.
Welcome to our Party Foul podcast, you guys, where we talk about party fouls. What's the biggest party foul you've ever done, Justin?
Oh, I don't know. A podcast for 13 years? What about you, Pete?
Yeah, pretty much same
That's
thing.
That's a life foul.
Also me.
Good.
One time I think I got so drunk I just rolled around on the floor for like half an hour.
Oh, that's funny. Was I there for that? Because I'll tell you what, this is funny you bring that up. Because one time we were out when we were doing a show. We were doing a comic book club for Nerdist as a show on their YouTube page.
Just real quick, Justin is going to use this opportunity to tell a funny drunk story about me.
Well, you brought it up. You're like, I got so drunk this one time, and I was like, let me fill in the blanks there, because we were...
not only did I get drunk one time, I got drunk another time.
And we happened to be there for this when we were out with the producer of that show, and that dude liked to drink.
Boy, did we drink so much.
And we drank so much to the point where the guy was like, are you guys want another round? I was like, yeah. And Alex was like, yeah. And then what happened?
I took a cab home and threw up in the cab and lost my phone. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, exactly. That's what you call the punchline.
That was fun. That was fun to look back on. I'm having a good time.
That was too much alcohol.
Sure was. I was thinking about that the other day because I still feel bad for that cabbie.
Oh, you should. Let it go, dude.
Did you tip him?
I don't know.
Oh, man.
I gave him a free phone.
That's somewhere in the lobby.
It's probably covered in barf.
Free phone. Come on, that's worth it.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
What a great exchange you just had. So, yeah, you don't feel bad.
No, I don't feel bad at all. Thanks. This was very cathartic, guys. Look, you know what also is cathartic is bringing out the awesome guests that we have for the show tonight. One of them is the writer of the upcoming $6 Million Man comic book. The other one is a writer for Full Frontal with Samantha Bee. Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Hastings and Pat Cass.
Welcome to the show, gentlemen. Don't trip over the corpse.
Wait, wow, look at this. You guys are setting a whole new pace.
Oh my gosh, there we go.
Hello.
Oh, God.
Way to check the chairs.
I knew the chair by the beverage choice.
Yeah, there you go. Water for you, beer for you.
Crack open this smart water.
Yeah. Guys, thank you so much for coming. It's always fun to have both of you on the show, so it's fun to have both of you at the same time.
It has so far always been great to have both of us.
Yes.
Yes.
The original duo.
And obviously it's Mardi Gras, so you guys, you know you're here for
Mardi Gras. Is it Mardi Gras? Is that true?
That's what today is.
Hell yeah. Oh my God, put a plastic baby in my cake. It's Mardi Gras, baby.
Yeah, exactly. You're the baby in this podcast.
Are you celebrating Mardi Gras?
I guess. Starting now.
A single beer.
Great. Yeah, I had some of those New Orleans chips with dinner.
Wow.
Alex, oh, you're talking zaps, right? Zaps.
Yeah, zaps.
I know. Yeah.
Alex cutting loose with a classic Mardi Gras celebration of a couple chips. What a party, guy, as we learned earlier in the intro. And now you're still cutting loose with a couple of chips.
I'm having a great time.
I bet he's having Zatarain's rice for dinner.
They're like seasoned with like...
I think so.
It's like New Orleans seasoning on the potato chips. They're very famous.
Yes. Yeah. That's what Mardi Gras is most known for, is a light dusting of seasoning.
You know what's funny? The last time I was on the show, we had, I remember this, we had an argument about whether or not a hamburger could be spicy.
And I'll tell you what, I remember.
And this is the same argument all over again.
You emailed us like a week later and were like, it is C, and sent us a link, and I was Oh man, I think we hurt Pat's feelings.
No, you energized me.
Was this about the spicy hamburger at Norman Reedus's restaurant? Is that what we were talking
about? Yes, 100% was.
Okay. Now, it's interesting you bring that up, because you wanted to talk about Walking Dead again, despite what happened the last time.
Yeah.
I'm thick-skinned. I could still talk about The Walking Dead.
No, another aspect of it that we can ruin for you.
You write Full Frontal with Sam Atherby, but you are also one of the few people who still watches The Walking Dead, along with myself.
In my circle of like friends, of whom are avid TV watchers, my friend Mathen, who I think you guys know.
Yes.
He works at Full Frontal, too.
Yep.
Great guy. Also... Great guy, especially great because he also watches The Walking Dead and is the only person. Like, it's him and you guys, and that's it.
What?
Really? That show has a massive budget.
I know.
Doesn't it? For only four people?
But yeah, I don't know anyone that actually. It's the most popular thing in the world that I don't know anyone. It's like U2 or something like that.
Yeah, right. At this point, it really is. Like, what? I put up
Aerosmith.
For work. Definitely Aerosmith, because like I think there's a crossover audience there. I put up a thing for a recap thing for work. Like I've done this for 9 years at this point, recap this show for work, and I put it up this week, and somebody was like, "Well, that show's still on?" Like it clearly has hit some sort of level at this point.
Yeah.
Where, like you said, it's the number two show on all of television still after This Is Us, but also nobody watches it or talks about it.
Really? The number two on TV full stop?
Yes.
The numbers have dipped a lot since, three seasons ago or four seasons ago was at its peak, and still it's the number two show on television.
Which is crazy. Well, how are you feeling about it at this point? There's a new showrunner this season.
New villains.
At this point, I think it's shaking it up a little more than it has. I think I like this season more than probably the last like three.
That's what Salves was saying. He said this is the best season.
The Whisper people is really dope. Can we talk about plot points?
No one watches it except for us.
Right.
So literally this is like news.
It's spoiler alert, Richard.
It's like hearing a radio play from back in the day.
The Whispers, I think, are kind of a cool thing, which is the people who wear the walker skin. That's just like a new thing.
It's cool.
Obviously the writers have to like come up with a new crap all the time, so it's like, that's cool. I haven't seen that
before.
Well,
this is from the comic book, so they didn't have to think so.
New plot points.
I want to check with Chris. He's a comic book writer. Do writers have to come up with new crap all the time?
Oh, shit.
No, that's a commonly told lie.
Thanks, Chris.
Wow.
Comic has been Action Comics number one.
Just rehashed. This is the spicy burger of this episode.
So this is something that Robert Kirkman came up at some point.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. It struck me because I guess this past week was like Grey's Anatomy became the longest running drama of all time.
Hell yeah.
Do you watch Grey's Anatomy?
I do, because my wife loves it.
Nice, cool.
So aggressive.
I've never
watched Grey's Anatomy, so maybe you can weigh in on this. But
I can't believe I'm on this comic show talking about the medical show I'm forced to watch every night.
Every night?
I know a lot about Grey's Anatomy.
Every night? Every night she makes
multiple episodes.
It's on 7 nights a week. they do just, 1,000
listen,
episode
seven
seasons.
Nights. Yeah. Listen, like my wife works very hard every day, and I am happy to let her have the TV. And if that means watching Grey's Anatomy from 2012, and I'm shocked that there was a plane crash in 2012,
then yeah, that's fine.
A major
yeah.
spoiler.
The reason I bring it up, though, is I feel like, and maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like the way most people feel about Grey's Anatomy at this point is how I feel about Walking Dead, which is like, yeah, it's still on.
They're basically the same show now.
Right.
Though.
They've been on for, like, I think maybe the same amount of time, and like 10 years?
And probably like a similar number of people have died.
Right,
exactly.
Right,
well,
yeah.
I think they both start
in a hospital.
Oh. Ooh, strong connection. This is a conspiracy theory now.
I wish your podcast listeners could see how much I looked for you guys. For
exactly. You really, that, I for almost connection. Called it out, well, but he leaned in like a Charlie Brown character, like Linus with a big idea.
I will say, this conversation reminds me very much of, because one of the doctors, I don't know any of their names. I know their faces. The handsome man who was the plastic surgeon.
You're
looking at
him.
Yeah. Okay, so
Rick,
McSteamy.
It was
Dixon. McSteamy or McDreamy.
One of the two.
He dies. And then I was like, man, what happens to that guy? Because he was a good actor. And then it turns out he's been on like a CBS show for 5 years about like a boat that somehow
the last ship.
Yeah, that one.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Love Boat.
Yeah,
The last ship. Another one. No, that's another like super popular show that nobody actually watches.
Exactly. That is my point.
Yeah. There you go. All
right, get back to The Walking Dead.
who's the McDreamy of The Walking Dead, the TV show.
Michonne. I mean, Norman Reedus by a million percent.
Is he? What defines the McDreamy?
I don't know. I don't watch Grey's Anatomy, so I don't know. I think you're right. I think he's like the hunk. So yeah,
isn't he?
Wait,
he
is very. Can anybody out in the audience confirm is McDreamy? McDreamy is the hunk. Okay,
he's the hunk. Yeah,
the
you
hunk?
Can tell because
so probably actually Negan.
But there's Jeffrey like, oh, there's like Negan on Grey's Anatomy, right?
No, Negan's like the Spike.
Wasn't he an actor on Grey's Anatomy though?
Was
in real
he
life?
On Grey's Anatomy? As Negan?
Is the guy who plays
Negan is a ghost that haunts a woman with cancer.
Hey, let me just say, we're doing a podcast.
This
conversation is impenetrible. No one knows what
Hell
the
yes,
fuck we're talking
culture,
about.
Well,
the Venn diagram between Walking Dead, it requires you to be a huge Walking Dead fan and a huge Grey's Anatomy fan, and that Venn diagram is
this
not
is like
crossover.
A rejected BuzzFeed headline, like, who's the McDreamy of Walking Dead? And we'd be like, fuck you. Don't. That's not a question anyone will ever answer in their lives.
I mean, we answered
wow,
it.
This, oh, yeah. you just, this article is so bad it put BuzzFeed out of business.
Yeah, exactly. They're done. They're
Did
dead.
Not think a single article could do that. But.
Oh, my gosh. Well, watch Walking Dead, you guys. Pat, of course, is coming up on it. Very excited to watch him die on The Walking Dead.
Really?
No.
Oh.
That's disappointing.
I wish. That would be cool.
I would be like a zombie. I would love to be like a zombie on The Walking Dead. Like just
That's like all the famous actors who like want to be stormtroopers on Star Wars.
Yes,
you would love that.
Yeah. That, or I would love to be a reenactor in like an episode of Unsolved Mysteries, which does not no longer.
Oh, that
exists.
Would be hard to pull off.
Yeah,
but I on the stormtrooper tip, isn't it fucked up? The dude that's friends with J.J. Abrams, who was on Heroes, is one of the rebel pilots.
Greg Grunberg.
Yeah, I guess that sounds like his name.
You said it's messed up.
Why is that messed up? He's boys with him. He can't throw him in a movie. What's up?
But he's not.
Why are you mad at
he's
him?
He's too recognizable to be one of those people. It should be someone who's famous or someone who's never been seen.
What are you
before.
Talking about?
Why?
Rebel pilots are always random.
Greg
like, British
Rundberg actors. Is his good luck charm. He's been in everything that he's done.
I said he's a person.
From
he's
Felicity
not a charm. He's a man.
To Lost,
are you saying
the
Wedge is not famous? That guy is an A-lister.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
No, he's not.
How dare you say that about
Greg,
Wedge?
What are you talking about? Greg Rundberg was the pilot in Lost as well. Were you bothered by that?
He's a pilot. He makes him a pilot all the time.
Yeah, he's always a pilot.
Is he a great pilot?
I guess not.
No, he crashed the plane and lost him.
He's a horrible pilot.
He's a terrible pilot. That's why he keeps getting
I don't know why you're mad at J.J. Abrams for looking out for his boy.
I just think it's not fair. It's fucked up. Well, he's looked out for him enough. He's fine.
Do you think Sully could have, if Sully was flying the Lost plane, Oceanic, he could have not crashed the plane?
Now, great, that would have been a great,
yes,
great
person,
last episode
audience.
Reveal.
Yes.
I mean, like,
Sully can
know,
do anything.
I think it depends on if the birds that ruined his real life flight are as magical as the island.
Polar bears would have gotten
a flock of birds is basically the smoke monster, if you think about it.
If you think about it.
That's true.
Don't make us think about it.
Chris, we're going to turn to you and talk about your comic book that's coming out Tomorrow. $6 million man.
The $6 million man.
It's fine. We'll change it in post.
Yeah,
we'll
loop it out. That's fine.
Yeah. Or you have to write a comic called The $6 million
I won't. Thank you.
We reviewed this comic book on our Stack podcast the other day. It's great. It's
to
really
my
fun.
Great relief.
Yes.
Yeah. I was like, oh God, they've been honest about my books in the past. This could go either way.
Positively honest.
No, we would not have reviewed it if we.
No, that's not true.
We liked it though. It's really fun.
True. Some of you have not liked what I've written in the past. That's fine.
Who name names?
Like, you.
Okay. No. I knew it was going to be me. I knew it.
That's fine. That's how it goes.
Yeah. But I've also liked a lot of the things that you've done.
Exactly.
So that's fun.
That gives you
that's honesty. That's
honesty.
Integrity.
That gives you a valid viewpoint, and I appreciate it.
Thank you. I'm a news reporter.
Oh, that's right, baby. I also don't like your stuff a lot of the
that's
time.
That's fine. Go to hell.
I love your stuff.
Yeah, but he's a liar. Yeah.
So we talked about this on the Stack podcast, but $6 million band back a little more modern, not exactly, but at least a modern take on it. What was your pitch for the book?
Well, the original pitch was, funny enough, $6 Million Man, for those of you who don't know, he's an astronaut who should have died in a crash, and they said, you know what? We've got this cyborg technology lying around waiting for a willing participant. Let's do it to this astronaut who nearly croaked, and they turned him into a cyborg monster, and then they decided the best thing to do with him is to make him a spy. And so,
great skill set overlap there, astronaut spy.
That is exactly my point in our new series.
See, you and I think alike.
he's an astronaut. He's not a spy. So we bring him into the series, and he's kind of a crap spy at first. He can run super fast. He can shoot a laser out of his eyeball, and he's very strong. But maybe he doesn't quite have spy training. And this is about him learning how to become a halfway decent spy.
Cool.
If we can delve into spoilers a little bit.
I would be happy to.
Excellent. Thanks, Chris. One of the things that I really liked about the tone of the first issue is that you're not sure for most of it whether he actually has any cyborg parts
or not. Yeah, because he just tells you.
Right.
He just says it, and he doesn't show it at all.
There's a lot of different approaches I think you could have taken with this book. Like, you could have played off of the exponential amount of money that it costs to make a cyborg now. Now, as we all know, cyborgs
is way more expensive.
More than $6 million.
More than $6 million.
I should hope. Well, I mean, we have cyborgs every day now.
Well, what are you talking about? Do you want to elaborate on that, or are you good?
I mean, like
Google Glass or something?
Yeah.
Room Glass? Are you talking about like a room?
Or just like glasses. A really good, like,
I can take these
new
off.
Leg or
oh my
your
God.
Glasses or whatever.
Yeah. Alex has been a cyborg this whole time. Cyborg.
Yeah.
Cyborg.
Yeah.
Surrounded by cyborgs.
So why was it important for you with a first issue to establish him this way?
The big things that we are doing with the series is that I very much wanted to have an attitude adjustment for Steve Austin. He has been previously a very reluctant spy. And even so much as like in the original novel, and I think they do this in the like original TV pilot, but like he tried to kill himself like after he gets all of his fancy new cyborg
really?
Parts. Yes.
That's horrible. In the TV show they did that?
I remember from the novel.
Yeah.
The original cyborg novel.
Yeah.
So it was a novel, then a TV show?
Yeah, there was a novel. There was like a real pulpy novel called Cyborg that was like, what if, you know, James Bond has. Like,
and that is what the $6 million man.
Yeah, and the TV show is based off the novel. Yeah. There's a few novels, and I just remember like.
That's like Die Hard is based on a novel, which I did not know until recently. Like, it's based on a novel.
Was the novel called Die Hard?
The novel.
Oh,
kind of.
Oh, shit.
It's called Nothing Lasts Forever, I believe.
Yeah, that's right.
Nothing Lasts Forever is the name of the novel?
Yeah.
Well, so apparently, like a weird trivia question is the original guy who is going to play, the original choice kind of to play John McClane, I'm sorry, to play John McClane was Frank Sinatra.
Yeah.
Oh. Hold on, we're going to go to this gentleman in the audience.
We got to get a fourth person in on this question about what I did.
I feel bad. I didn't want that. I'm so sorry.
This topic.
Nothing Lasts Forever was a sequel to an earlier book called The Detective, which had been made into a film in the 60s starring Frank Sinatra in the title role.
That's right.
Wow, amazing. Man, what fun it would be to have Frank Sinatra say yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker. It's almost a song. It's almost a song.
I wonder why he... Do you think Frank Sinatra, considered doing that movie?
Was he alive then? Was he, like... He must have been at the end of his life.
I love crawling around in ducks.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
Hey, yeah. Let's get back to Chris, please.
No, I don't think so.
All right, conversation, please.
No, it's fine. But, seriously, Ronan Farrow... It's Frank Sinatra, right? It's Frank Sinatra.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Right?
He'd be great in a Die Hard remake, is what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Ronan Farrow.
He's taken on a lot of acting roles.
Yeah.
He was in Kimmy Schmidt. That's just a fact.
That's good. Yeah.
That was pretty weird, right?
I guess so. Journalistically or something?
Yeah, the fact that he was doing...
Let's take on Ronan Farrow in this podcast.
I'd rather not. I don't want him to look into anything that I've done. He is so thorough. There will be sins I never knew I committed that he will dig up.
$6 Million Man.
What about it?
I don't even remember.
Wait, you were telling us about...
Cyborg.
How you kind of got... Started with what your take was on it.
What the point of the first issue is, or the entire series. So we kind of came at it with, instead of a more reluctant spy, I should have died kind of vibe, it's a little bit more informed by what the editor, Nate, and I like about 60s astronauts, which is kind of there are these cocky test pilots, and they seem to have a lot of fun, and they know they're going to die, and they just have a really good sense of humor about it. And so we kind of readjusted his attitude to that, which is that I died, and now I'm back, and oh my God, my legs run real fast. This is fantastic, baby. And so we kind of had him have more of a sense of humor, and. It's his first mission. It's he's an astronaut. He's not a spy. He's not very good at it yet.
I think we talked about this in our review, which was, again, very positive. He's sort of a doof. he's sort of a doofy.
Doof is the word.
Yeah.
In your version or in the original version?
In my version. He is only on top of things 100% in the TV show.
It was originally called $6 Million Doof.
$6 Million Doof. Yeah.
And he has a partner in the book as well.
He's partnered up with a competent spy, Nico Abe, and she's a Japanese spy, and her whole thing is that she's discovered a nuclear plot to blow up Hawaii, and nobody believes her because it's essentially by the founder of our fictional version of Sony.
Sony?
Well, yeah, so, it's not Sony.
Whoa, stay on target.
No. Our fictional version.
Yeah. Okay.
This is based on a true story that you believe happened, though, in the past.
It definitely did happen.
Sony, the company.
No, it's just I had to make up a billionaire villain, and so we were taking a look at the technology of the time, and Sony was blowing up.
Big time. They were blowing up islands.
Oh, man.
And I was just okay, so let's make a Japanese electronics company that's kind of like Sony, which is in the book called Ansa.
Is this an ongoing series of the
story? Why is that meaningful?
Great. Thanks so much for coming on. Is this an ongoing series at this point?
No. It's just one arc.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
What else are you taking on? You're always working on a couple of things.
Oh my goodness, I sure am. I'm still working on Dracula Gate, which is the book that I came on last time to promote with Branson Reese.
Yeah.
And we're still drawing it. It takes a long time to draw a book.
Drawing is
That's
hard.
Like 130 something pages. So, wow. Yeah. So we're just working on that every day.
What is that?
Dracula Gate? Thank you for asking. Terrific.
No, I want to know. I see it sound, the title is awesome. I'm sorry I don't know what it is.
Oh, my God. You were setting me up so good. Thank you.
Also, are you working out or?
I'm not at all. Dracula Gate is a story about basically like all of the monsters and goblins and ghouls and ghosts and such are real. And they have all basically left every other country to Transylvania, which is run by Dracula.
Like, and he's the president?
He's the president of Transylvania, yes.
I'm sorry, is this like old hat for you guys? I'm so sorry.
No, it's fine.
No, no, don't ask them anything. Let me promote this book to you one-on-one right now.
This is definitely a new podcast forming. You're watching the birth of a podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you the too. Idea is that Dracula...
Describing Dracula Gate, the podcast. Yeah. Every episode, Chris Hastings describes Dracula Gate to a new guest.
These are great jokes. I really am very focused on finishing my description.
No, we want you to. We want you to.
Yeah, we're very.
Then we got to get back to the Sony stuff.
Dracula runs Transylvania, and it's basically about the United States opening up diplomatic relations for the first time in decades.
With Transylvania.
With Transylvania, run by Dracula. His Secretary of State is Frankenstein.
Of course.
There's a spooky skeleton who runs the state-run media, much like a Rupert Murdoch. His name is... what is his name? Oh, no.
It's just a skeleton? The monster category for that is skeleton?
No, this is like Bonesy something. Oh, God.
Is Rupert Bird.
The problem is I remember the name of his cousin, like Douglas J. Boner Boy, but I don't remember the...
From the Boner
I
Boy.
I love when so, people include skeletons in like the monster pantheon.
You must.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's you one must. In every one of us.
It's my favorite like monster because it's so specific.
Yeah. It's a big thing in the comic that like all the skeletons are like super happy and corny because they finally escaped our terrible bodies.
Wow.
So Dracula Gate was a Kickstarter.
We did a Kickstarter. We did it. We got the money. We're making the book.
And if I miss the Kickstarter, am I still going to be able to buy the book?
Of course. We're not stupid.
No, I'm asking for the... Those are
books. You can only buy the book if you're one of an elite crew of people who pre-ordered it. All right,
you heard it here first, folks. You can only buy it if you're an elite crew of people. No, will it be on sale at Sands?
Yeah, I have no news on when it's actually going to go on sale because we are still literally drawing it. But
we will
absolutely put it on sale.
You guys can definitely pick up $6 Million Man tomorrow from Boom Studios. Pat... Check out Full Frontal with Samantha Bee.
Yes, please. And we're doing, Wednesdays, 10:30
nice.
On TBS.
Yeah. I have a question.
And we're doing another White House Correspondents Dinner. Not the White House Correspondents Dinner.
Yeah.
Right.
The date, I do not know, but...
April sometime?
It's coming up soon. April.
Pat, do you have a particular like bit or segment that you are proud of from Samantha Bee?
Ooh,
oh, wow. Question. This is like reciprical.
What the fuck's going on over
I'm
here?
I'm hosting this podcast now.
We'll just hang out over here.
I want to know.
The first dinner, which was a very, very much a group effort.
This was when Trump a very special thing. Refused to do the White House Correspondents Dinner and you guys had to do your own like fun version. Right?
Yes. Okay. That's what Birth did. I mean, that was just a special
you guys right
thing.
No, we know that.
What?
Too.
No,
is there a scoreboard somewhere?
Yeah, and also, why are you fighting with us?
I just asked really two great incisive. Host questions.
I'm just still mad at the spicy burger thing, honestly.
Yeah. I am a little off.
My revenge.
We got to stop these chairs from swiveling toward each other because these guys are really cutting us out.
No, I am genuinely curious, and I'm sure the audience is as well. Please continue.
Are you sure the audience is?
I think I kind of said my truth. It was the dinner. The first dinner was a real exciting thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had fun at dinner too.
We had spicy burgers all around.
The first dinner, the last supper, all great. Let's move on.
All right. It's now time for our next section, which we like to call the stack.
They didn't let you in.
Yeah. And
are we talking about
this?
The stack. We talked about a couple of books that we particularly liked. Kicking it off with Martian Manhunter number 3 from DC Comics.
All right. Woo-hoo! Now we just took the power of the show back. Let's talk about comics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Martian Manhunter.
Yeah, so I picked this book.
Yeah.
It's worth it for the art alone. I like this take on Martian Manhunter. It's kind of a fun take. It also kind of lets you inside his mind a little bit. And we're kind of getting the origin story kind of unfolding as the issues go on. So
just kind of, though.
Right, one issue at a time. I think that's what he means by kind of. Riley Rossmo draws this, and it truly is. It's so interesting, so unique, so cool. Every page is a different take, different style, different layout. It's really, really a fun book. And this issue, Martian Manhunter has been found out by his partner, John Jones' partner on Earth. They're both cops, and he's explaining how he went from being an alien who was drawn here by a scientist, by a sort of an old eccentric scientist, to taking over this cop's body. And it's great, top to bottom. It's sad. This series is
also
really fun.
Also, great last page reveal.
Yeah, this is an excellent book overall. Just to reiterate what you guys said, we had Steve Orlando on our show a couple of months back before this launched, and he was so excited about this book. I don't think he undersold it at all. It really is. If you're a fan of Martian Manhunter, or if you know absolutely nothing about Martian Manhunter, you can jump right into this, mainly based on Riley Rossmo's art, as you said, which is absolutely stunningly gorgeous.
And it's, you know, Martian Manhunter is one of those characters. Is anyone's favorite superhero Martian Manhunter? No one. I don't think he's
there
not
is,
a
if
favorite.
You're listening at home, there are 50 people who raised their hands but stayed silent.
Yeah. I will say,
reading Justice League, I always loved him as a part of the team. He felt like the heart of the team of reading Justice League.
Really? The heart? Because he's so sort of like cold.
Yeah, it felt like it wasn't a Justice League. It was just Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman or whatever. It felt like it always needed Martian Manhunter.
He's like the dad.
He's the heart, I said.
No, I know, but I don't like, because he's not, heart feels like, oh, he's passionate, he's like an emotional center, when he's almost not emotional.
No, I mean, he's like, he's in the middle of it, and if you take it out, it dies.
Wow. Wow, that's a different understanding of the heart from two people.
Well, I am a doctor, and it's Grey's Anatomy on a record-breaking new season that I have to watch with my wife.
She works hard every day.
Damn right, Pete.
She deserves to watch a show with a doctor. A doctor of Grey's Anatomy. Yeah. Doctor
must
be
Dr. fun McNinja. To watch a medical show with a doctor. That must be a fun thing.
Wait, is your wife a doctor?
No, she's an artist like me.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, we don't
I'm
have
just
real
saying,
jobs.
Just in general, watching Grey's Anatomy with a doctor sounds like
you
no
should
fun.
Invite a doctor into your marriage.
Yeah, I watch Walking Dead with a Zombie, and they're constantly like,
what did you just say?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Said invite a doctor.
You were saying
marriage.
He should invite people into his marriage.
Yeah, open
that's
it
cool.
up. Open it up.
And then Alex said I had to invite a dead person.
Hey, you like Steve Rogers, the 70s man? A lot of shit was going on then.
Get loose. Have a key party. Open up. Open it up.
All right. Let's Steve move on Rogers talk about swing? Justin's pick, West Coast Avengers, number 8 from Marvel Comics.
Ooh, all right, a couple people clapping.
All right, a couple people clapping. So this comic, I think Chris explained it best. It's a book where they combine a bunch of characters from other books that weren't doing well, and then this book is really good, but also was recently canceled.
Listen, I wrote one of the characters from the canceled book who's on this one, and that's just like, let's get all the canceled characters together and put them on a team.
Which one?
Gwenpool.
Who is truly this
Hey,
fan.
Loud clapping.
Hell yeah.
Loud clapping.
Clap, baby.
Is
That's
that
my
a
career.
Deadpool like relative or something?
Yeah.
Kinda.
Oh man.
I'm so sorry, guys. You have to understand. I'm
No.
Why are there two Hawkeyes?
So the idea of this book is
these are all the questions.
There's a lot to get into right now.
So it's a
That's
bunch
why
of
I love coming to the show though. Like I ask the simplest question and like you guys are like, okay, here we go. I'm like, okay, so Spider-Man's dead? It's like,
what are you, crazy?
Oh, first of all, death doesn't exist in Universe 11.
Is anyone ever really alive? Okay, let's get into it.
No, it's not even like a philosophical. It's like, well, no, death, they killed the Grim Reaper, so death no one dies anymore. Anyway, sorry. Why are there two Deadpools? Why are there two Hawkeyes?
I'll just mention, I mean, on that note, my daughter came in while I was brushing my teeth this morning.
Okay.
And she was like, hey, is Black Panther an Avenger? And I was like, well, that's a complicated question. Because right now, technically, he's on the roster. Wait, why do you want to know? And she's like, I asked Alexa, and Alexa said Black Panther was her favorite Avenger. And I was like, I don't care anymore.
Wow.
Wow, you really checked out.
Whoa. Man, you're really down
with Alexa. I'm not going to get into a fight with Alexa. It's just not going to happen.
Alexa's the real parent.
As a comic nerd.
Okay. Choose your words carefully. Also, Alex,
but you have kids, and they must be like, "Hey, like, is this like cartoon character? Like, if they have a question about like Mickey Mouse or something, is your impulse to give a simple answer or to be like,
Mickey
Mickey Mouse?
I was just trying to pick a very like an iconic pop culture.
But like, let's not get into Kingdom Hearts.
If your kid asks you like, "Oh, is this pop culture character that I also watch?" Like. Good or bad, do you like just say, oh, he's good? Or are you like, well, it depends if you what universe you're talking about.
So if someone says, Daddy, is Magneto a good guy?
Yeah.
Ooh. I sit them down and I explain the Holocaust. Yeah.
Wow.
Smart.
Go all the way.
Smart. That's smart a good way to start.
Because it is true.
Yeah,
it's
true. That's right. I don't know. I do try. They ask questions all the time. And we have comic books all over the house. And obviously it's a huge part of pop culture. So when they do ask a question, I try to boil it down as much as possible. But also, they ask a lot of follow-up questions. So I try to lay it out and be honest with them.
Because they're smart.
So you got to be on top of your shit.
Yeah.
I like how you just gave up because your daughter brought up Alexa. So you were like, oh, yeah, I'm not going to.
Alex, I don't know. I think you should invite Alexa into your marriage.
And that's our review for West Coast Avengers.
No, well, let me just say real quick. Yeah.
We said nothing about West Coast Avengers.
I'm coming back on it. This issue does focus a lot on Gwenpool, and she is a great character on this team. All these characters are super interesting, and it is a great book. It is sad that it's not going to be going forward too much longer, but the West Coast Avengers has always been sort of like, the Avengers that aren't great. It's like we all just sort of live together and fuck around.
California only needs loser heroes.
Yeah, that's weird because there's no crime there, as we all know.
Apparently.
Yeah.
It's like if you fuck up the original Avengers, like, well, I guess I'll try being an actor.
Yeah, right, exactly. Oh, man. I'm going to move out west. I have nothing to lose. But this book is very fun, and it uses that premise to a great degree.
Yeah. Moving on to another Marvel comic book, Amazing Spider-Man number 16. Woo!
Great. Nope. Alex, lighten up the audience.
Yeah, no, I love this book. This issue in particular is kicking off the big Kraven the Hunter storyline that's going to be running through Amazing Spider-Man for the next couple of months. I got to be honest, I was a little like trepidatious about getting into any sort of Kraven the Hunter overarching multiple arc storyline. It feels like it's kind of... it's been done. We've already had our amazing Kraven stories, and he's been so weird as a character for so long. But this is huge and awesome and very fun. And the idea is that Kraven has recruited all of these real hunters to hunt all of the animal-themed supervillains in the Marvel Universe in New York City. He's going to put a bubble over New York City and turn it into a hunting ground.
So Wolverine is on the table.
Not yet. Not
That's
yet.
A great
but it's like the Vulture and Beetle and
Spider-Man.
Rhino.
There are a lot of people out there that hunt beetles.
Right.
Obviously. So well, it makes sense.
Beetle hunters.
It's all the Spider-Man.
So what he's trying to do is he's taking out all the supervillains, and also eventually he's going to use this to twist it on the hunters and teach them a lesson as well.
But like the Green Lantern's fine because he's not an animal.
Well, he's a DC
superhero.
Comics character.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Pat. You are not allowed to be one of my kids.
Okay, what's the name of a Marvel superhero that's not an animal?
Captain America?
What's that?
Captain America?
He's fine.
Yeah, he's all right.
Okay.
Yeah,
he's fine. He's not going to be inside
because
the bubble.
Because his theme is not animal themed.
Yeah, he was bitten by an eagle, and that's how he got his powers, but he's not
eagle-themed. He was bitten by America.
Yeah.
He's bitten by America.
I made the mistake of reading a 16HU before.
Which isn't coming out until tomorrow, so you're not going to say anything about it.
Yeah. Right. But, the numbering on this gets a little weird.
Yes, yeah. It does. We will have a review of 16HU and our Stack podcast coming out tomorrow morning at 9 a.m., so definitely check that out.
Sharp.
But this issue is awesome. If you're looking for a crazy, over-the-top Spider-Man story, definitely check this out.
I have a question.
That's yes. Awesome.
How does this this new arc for Kraven sort of line up with his character development in Squirrel Girl?
At the end of the Squirrel Girl arc, he became a villain again.
Ah.
Yeah. So he sort of... by the way, if you have been reading Squirrel Girl, definitely check that out because the development that they did in Kraven there
yeah,
was...
Yeah, I love Kraven.
Awesome. But they had this whole arc where he was wrestling with... Am I a villain? Am I a hero? Can I really be good? And he ultimately fell on the side of, no, I think I'm a villain. I think
so
that's who I am.
His whole thing into is this? Murder.
It, yes. I mean,
cool.
They set it up so that he could be in this place here. But he's been in the background of Amazing Spider-Man for the past couple of issues.
Okay.
Kind of laying the groundwork. But it's really fun.
I've got a question. How come Marvel doesn't number anymore? They go with letters after their numbers now.
This literally has a number.
Right, but the next one is 16.
Yeah, that's not coming out until tomorrow.
Right, but it's still happening, so we can still talk about why the numberings are weird, right?
I really don't think we should.
This conversation is
why wouldn't it go from 16 to 17? Why does it go 16HU?
Why
Pete,
did...
And if you look at... When you go home, look at your number chart, which you have on your wall.
Yep.
If you look at
it goes all the way up to 200 now.
That's what I'm saying.
What's the problem? What's the change that's happening that's crazy? I'm sorry. I'm genuinely curious.
It's not that crazy. It's just a little crazy. This comic is number 16, and then they're releasing an issue tomorrow whose number is 16HU, and then 17 will come out next month.
Okay.
Why?
Yeah, why? But what I was trying to say to Pete is there's always been a 16HU.
This whole time?
Yep. Yeah. Anytime. Like if you.
I don't want to spoil what's happening next, but we're about to enter a number guessing game, and the number might be 16, wink, H-U.
What does the HU stand for? Does HU stand for something, or is it just
Hunted. Hunted, because the storyline is called Hunted.
16 human units. Watch
16
out.
All right, we're going to wrap up this section of the stack.
Woo!
Chris, did you have something to say?
I have one final point. Why don't we have the month of the year on these books anymore.
Right.
That's a very easy way to tell what comes before and what comes
this
after.
This is like the nerd version of Andy Rooney on 60 Minutes, like, and another thing.
let me ask you.
Yeah.
You mean this entire podcast. Right?
Can I also have one final question before we move
on? Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Why are there two Hawkeyes?
And, to be fair, you have asked that multiple times.
But no answer.
You're right.
Because it's a lot to unpack.
Well, to be a Hawkeye, you have to be good.
Give me the dumb version.
Anyone with a bow and arrow is a Hawkeye.
So long as you wear purple.
Okay.
So,
you got to wear purple. Someone in the audience is like,
there might be a Hawkeye here in the crowd.
Did you
a third Hawkeye?
Oh, shit. Do you have a fucking bow and arrow in the crowd?
Exactly.
That's pretty cool. Illegal.
All right, we're going to move on to our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up to your audience questions.
Yeah.
For that, we're going to go over to this guy over here because we're running a little low on time.
No. Ask him our questions. We have time.
We got time.
It's Tuesday night in New York City, and we're talking comic books.
We'll come back to you. What's your name? What's your question, sir?
My name is Kevin. We talked about books becoming TV shows, TV shows becoming comics. What is another source material, anything that's not a comic and has not become a comic, that you would love to see as a comic?
Ooh.
Pogs.
I am positive I have answered this question on this podcast before.
Wow. Well, let's see.
I remember my previous answer.
So this is something to become a comic that is not a comic currently and not a TV show.
But has been a book?
No, it could be anything.
Or anything else.
It has to be something.
But it's not allowed to be a comic or a TV show, but it's been literally anything else.
There are very few rules.
I just want to mention that if you solve this riddle, he will give you his magic ring.
I think I said Mistborn last time, and I still stick by it.
Wow.
Mistborn.
Mistborn.
You guys read Mistborn?
That's a novel that is not yet a
novel series.
I see. Okay.
That's good. It's by...
what about Wheel of Time? Is that a comic already?
The same guy writes Wheel of Time.
Robert L. Jordan?
I thought...
Oh, no, the new
I love
guy.
Those books. Sorry.
Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan. Robert, yeah, Michael Jordan, Jordan writes The Wheel of Time, and he writes Mistborn. And I got to tell you, you don't know how many like great ways there are to describe a dunk until you read these books.
Yeah, no, exactly.
I swear to God. Mistborn is a terrific novel series. It's got like it's like kind of like a cool superhero thing, but it's like a got a fantasy medieval vibe to it. But it's got like a really cool magic system that like kind of makes it easy to adapt to a video game or a comic or a movie or whatever. And I'm sure we will see that someday because it's just like they're sitting on money.
Hmm. What else, you guys? Who else has an answer? I actually, now that you say it, I do remember getting this question before when you were on the show. Because
I answered Mistborn.
Yeah, and I think what I answered was...
No, you could do a new answer. No,
but it's still a good answer. It was Steelheart is this book by Brandon Sanderson. Is that
And Sanderson wrote Mistborn.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, this is...
and took over Wheel of Time. There it is.
Yeah.
Sanderson!
Steelheart's a great series. It's a post-apocalypse superhero series. It's really cool and dark and fun and interesting, but it has never been adapted. I don't think any of his stuff has been adapted.
It seems absurd. He is so easy to sell. We're going to see a flood of it once Game of Thrones is over, I'm sure of it.
Oh, interesting. That's very soon.
I would like to see a story about a rabbit who has a certain taste for a certain kind of food, and like all the children in the world can eat it, but he can't, and how it's like super frustrating for him.
Like that idea.
Wait, to like go about and
Tricks Rabbit, the graphic novel.
Right, but like, exactly. What are you going to do for like merchandise?
Yeah, well, how can you connect this to children?
How can you make this into a physical product that you would have cereal?
Bring this to children. You know,
wait, did you say a cereal?
That's, dude, believe
it. Come on, no!
But then, like, he meets, like, Booberry. I don't know.
Yeah, he meets other people who have similar problems.
But if you take it seriously,
What makes you think that these rabbits and these... blueberries are going to make sense on a cereal box. That's crazy.
Yeah, I don't know.
No.
But just spitballing ideas here.
I'm sorry. I got to be so negative about it. I'm just...
But to seriously answer, I always thought like...
I thought that was a serious answer. You took it
very seriously.
I always thought it'd be cool. Douglas Adams' book, like Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
That's what I was going to say. It
would be great to have like that because it's... such amazing imagery that he writes anyway. It would be great to, like, someone...
There has not been a Douglas Adams comic book?
No?
I mean, that's
sort of crazy. A Hitchhiker's comic book, I guess.
They might not be, super duper quality.
Yeah. Oh, interesting.
There's been a lot of adaptations of Hitchhiker's Guide.
Right, I mean, there's the movie, but, like, I thought there's
radio play.
What are you looking for?
I was just saying it would be cool comic.
Yeah.
And that sandbox, like that universe, is so like rich and
The sandbox.
Yeah, like just like the world,
the sandlot
that he's created.
Oh, the sandlot.
Yeah,
the sandlot's my answer.
I read something online that
dude, squints get superpowers.
there's some out media outlet that's developing 2 seasons of The Sandlot as a TV show.
Oh yeah, I heard about that.
But it's not new kids; it's the kids grown up. It's like the old people.
Great.
That sounds
great.
Who's that for?
It's for us. I don't know. That's a great question.
Yeah, me and Pat will finish watching Walking Dead. We'll check out The Sandlot.
There's no finishing Walking Dead. That's going to outlive us.
Yeah, we'll die. We'll die before Walking Dead.
Yeah. What about you, Justin?
Thinking of old Saturday morning cartoons I used to watch, like Starcom, I think it was called, or maybe Bucky O'Hare.
I knew you were going to say
Bucky
I almost
O'Hare.
Said it. Captain Bucky O'Hare.
Yeah, we need 10 seasons of Bucky O'Hare.
Let's Croaker Some Toads. I feel like that would be a good comics series. Got Pete. You get tickle that nostalgia bone on the Pila page.
Cool. All right. We got any other questions?
Get to answer this question.
Oh, yeah, Pat, go.
John Grisham's The Firm, obviously.
Of course.
Cool.
A comic?
Yes.
Or a book adaptation?
It'd be great to see that as a book.
Of The Firm.
It'd be great to see that as a book.
Yeah.
Nothing.
The Firm would be a
I'm sorry,
TV
Alex.
Show now.
No, that's fine.
Really
What's your name? What's your question?
I am Pablo.
Hey, Pablo.
Nice.
Hello.
Hey, Pablo.
Getting back to the $6 million man question here.
All right.
Okay. All right. Which,
what comic book property would you like to see be a Bionic Man?
Ooh. Or yeah. So who do I want to see become a cyborg?
Like have a horrible accident.
A horrible accident.
And then become
see.
A cyborg.
Yeah. You can also talk about Friends if you want.
Friends?
The TV like show Friends of yours.
You mean like Chandler's a cyborg?
Yeah, those are my main friends.
Chandler, could I be any more a cyborg?
Oh, I mean, man. Ross is the most cyborgy.
What? Comic book property, which means that we've already got some hook already incorporated, whether it's superpowers or not.
Yeah. So, like, a bad answer would be cyborg. That's, like, the one answer you can't do. Or, like, four.
It'd be funny if Steve Rogers got so fucked up after he was the $60 million. I was like, fuck, we need to make you a different cyborg.
Yeah, we got
to
add more cyborg parts.
Yeah, I mean, my instinct is to say something like Jimmy Olsen or, like, Foggy from Daredevil.
Yeah,
or
Foggy needs something. It'd be great if he was a cyborg.
Fuck you.
Because like, he's got nothing.
Fuck you.
He's
what fucking, nothing. What fucking drama is that? Where you said Foggy is cool and he said fuck you.
All he does is bust on me for this liking Foggy.
Very astute All observation, Pat, that you haven't observed that we have a dynamic that is poisonous. Yeah. And one of our...
But the fact that it's over Foggy.
Yeah, Foggy Nelson, Daredevil's lawyer.
Best friend,
lawyer, servant.
Keeps him it's like in
his
line.
Lawyer. It's like his
who
lawyer
does so
butler.
Much for this guy, and lawyer. He gets treated like shit.
Yeah, that's bad.
Yeah. So yeah. What if
Daredevil's
what if,
a bad person?
What if Daredevil's idiot friend?
Yeah.
Oh,
got
watch
super
your
strength.
That's watch your about. Mouth.
Thank and you robot legs.
The $6 million doof. Like I was pitching before.
Oh, which is what we are. Literally
You're pitching
doing.
Me. Right. Awesome.
That's good.
You think I'm powerful?
Yeah.
These are great answers. Do we have any other questions? Anybody? Oh, right over here. Come
nice.
On over. What's your name? What's your question?
My name is Jarrett, and I was just wondering if we've decided that Green Arrow is now Hawkeye?
Ooh, that's not because he has a bow and arrow.
I know. Now I know what that means.
Yes. And technically, yes.
Yeah, technically speaking, according to comic books... Yes.
I mean, Green Arrow, I mean, there are all these characters that are like the Marvel has this version, DC has this version, and that is definitely.
Oh, so Green Arrow is DC or Marvel?
DC.
So wouldn't the rules not apply to him?
Was there, I'm going to take a little.
The Hawkeye rules would not apply to a different.
No, it's true. Gina Davis is a Hawkeye, obviously. who else? On Riverdale, obviously.
Robin Hood.
Cheryl.
Cheryl's
Cheryl.
Was
there,
Robin Hood, he
was
the original
point,
Hawkeye.
Was there
the guy
a point
who killed the kid in The Sopranos
like,
is a Hawkeye. Yeah.
Was there a point when bow and arrow was cool? Like when bow and arrow was like, wow, that was a really good power. That's
only
great.
Before guns, I think.
Before guns. But all of these characters come after guns. They come post guns.
You ever killed a deer with a bow and arrow, Alex?
No, I can't say that I've had the pleasure.
Wait, are you coming from a...
Because I'll tell you what, it makes you feel very powerful.
Oh, sorry, for those of you listening at home, Chris is wearing a full deer coat over and over his back.
Are there any crossbow-based superheroes? Not Daryl, obviously. That's not a super...
Daryl, number
Huntress,
one.
Yeah, good call.
Huntress, yeah. She always has one on her hand.
What a cool room. There's no question I could ask about comics that would not be answered.
I
like,
dare you.
4 seconds.
Yeah.
Is there a superhero whose weapon is a blowgun?
Oh my god! This guy doesn't know about the blowgun.
I don't. Not that I know.
Yeah, I don't know.
So it's a primary weapon.
No. I feel like I didn't stump anyone. The answer is probably no.
I feel like there's a the hand often have blowguns. I feel
right.
Like
ninjas. Yeah, the foot.
Ninjas. Yeah.
The foot. The hand.
The hand. All
Wait,
the other
the
body
hand
parts.
And the foot. Are those two different organizations?
Obviously,
they
the
are.
Neck.
But the foot is from the Ninja Turtles.
Right. Yeah, and ninjas, they were making
they
fun
were
of that hand.
Meant to be a parody of the hand.
Yeah. They use blowguns
from Daredevil.
Ninjas use blowguns.
Two different. Ninja organizations.
Yeah, and there are a lot of ninja organizations.
Mason Chain? Any Mason Chain based?
Yeah. And you got the Freemasons.
That's the last
those
one.
Those are ninjas.
That's the last
no,
question.
That's all right. That's a great question. All right. Do we have any more questions? Anybody? Anybody?
Oh,
you, sir.
Here we go.
So, before we get to this question.
Here we go.
This is unrelated.
If it's about blowguns, we've already covered that, yeah, so don't worry. Yeah. But
now, before we get to this question, there's something that I need to establish for our guests over here where they may not know about this. Also,
we know about it.
Okay, well, you know about it. Yeah, Patton might not know about it. For those listening at home for the first time, you also might not know about this. Now, back in December...
Oh, man, do you really have to start
it
there every time?
We've explained
it
so many times.
Yeah, absolutely.
We can do a fast, very fast
Yeah,
version.
Real fast. Back in December, last show of the year, we discovered that Pete has been running a secret Punisher quiz for 5 years on the show that he didn't tell us about. You'll appreciate that. It's basically like an unlockable in a video game where you have to say a secret phrase and then you get to take a Punisher quiz, but Pete didn't tell anybody about it.
Yeah, exactly. When we say he's been running it, he just in his head thought of it and never said a word.
Right.
And 5 years passed and then he was like, hey, I've been running this secret Punisher quiz based out of this pile of clothes over here.
Right. So there's a
prize. Is it like an iPhone game or just a thing in your brain?
No, it's a pile of clothes. You have to say a secret phrase. You have to say a secret phrase, which this guy is about to say.
Okay.
Then you have to answer 10, was it 10 questions?
Seven
trivia questions about the Punisher. And then you have what Pete described as a physical challenge, but was actually just guessing a random number. It involves the amount of beautiful treasures based on the Punisher that is in the treasure pile of Punisher treasures over there. There may or may not be an additional treasure hidden in that pile that somebody could choose as a prize, or you could be lured to Pete's apartment.
No.
What?
No, I what? Would bring the prize to
but
the person.
But the prize is at your apartment.
That's true.
What is? What's,
I'm not going to bring anybody
what?
To
I can't see what that is. Like, is that. That could be like a
it's the Punisher
burlap
shrine.
Sack.
See, here's the problem. So last week on the show...
They're like Punisher t-shirts?
We don't know.
Okay.
there's slippers, there's a hat. Turns out there was a wallet in there somewhere. There's a bunch of other things.
It's like if you had a...
Some guy's wallet. It's like
it's some Chinese man's wallet. It's like if your downstairs neighbor was like... One day was like, hey, man, you've been living upstairs for me for 5 years. hey, you want to come take this quiz in my apartment? And you would be like, no, I don't need to do that.
Nah, I'm good.
And then the guy would be like, no, no, it's cool. There's a prize inside my apartment. You just have to come in and get it. Mm-hmm. All you got to do is guess the number of clothes I have.
I'm going
to
lose this quiz. I mean, I don't know so
You're not on the hook.
Yeah. Right.
I just want to mention where we left things the last time is this fine sir over here had made it through all of the rounds, got to the thing, guessed a number, and then Pete sat there and counted a bunch of the things and was like, well, I guess that's not the number.
Yeah. Yep.
So... we'll see what happens this time. Do you have anything you'd like to ask?
Yeah, actually, I've got a question for Chris. Is it too late to put in the consent form for Dracula Gate? Like, have you
to get on
the consent form?
I think he means to get on board.
Oh, like you're a cameo backer.
Yes.
No.
Excellent.
No, please do. We're missing a bunch of you.
Yeah, I know. It's just
my goodness! I love that we are publishing a very specific situation with a very small, like literally. I think we're down to like 20 people. 20 people on the planet who have not sent in their photos and their consent forms to be a cameo backer in a book. We're going
to
be drawing this gentleman in our book.
No, actually, it's
we're going to be drawing her in the book.
Nice.
But I need to get photos and a consent form that I had drawn up by a lawyer.
Okay, this is great. He's about to win this quiz. You can meet at Pete's house where he gets his prize, and you can do it then.
So glad to talk about Dracula Gate. Anyway, Punisher?
Yes.
Great.
Anything else you want to ask?
I would like to take the secret Punisher.
All right. There we go. Great.
And I'll tell you what, we've had a lot of people try to take down this Punisher quiz, specifically one in a week-to-week basis.
Yep.
So it's exciting to see it happening yet again.
Can I participate, or is this kind of...
No.
Like,
no
you
no,
only...
No, no. Sir. No.
Fine, and if you think this is the last quiz you're going to see tonight from Pete LePage, you're sorely mistaken.
So what is your guess for the number of Punisher items in the shrine? Also, do you want to count the Punisher slippers as one item or two?
Yeah, we'll count the slippers as one.
One.
I'm going to say... Nine.
Okay. There we go.
Do you you recount them or you just tell them?
I don't know how many's in here.
Yeah. I was thinking.
Yo, that's
like
so funny. That's like if Pat Sajak, someone solved the puzzle on Wheel of Fortune, Pat Sajak was like, I don't speak English. I don't know how to fucking read.
You just did.
I don't know how to fucking read. You tell me what's
so
up.
So we've got one being the slipper.
Two being the amazing Punisher apron.
Why do you keep counting?
Three being the wallet. Four being the Punisher knit hat. Five being the Punisher nightlight.
I feel like, are you selling this stuff or what's the deal?
Nope.
I feel like this is a scam.
Just for those listening at home.
I got you.
Describing what the items are.
Okay. There's something in this
what
hat.
Number did I leave off on?
This is merchandise based off of a man Five. Whose family was murdered by the mafia.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. That's
six, Punisher keychain.
Would have been hard to see that because it was inside the hat.
Seven, another Punisher keychain.
Wow.
There's like 20 keychains.
And nine.
Punisher button.
Wait, no, eight.
Eight, yep.
Eight being a Punisher.
Well, that was really dramatic, and then you took away the drama.
Yep.
Okay, that's
sorry, you were one.
No, you missed the hat.
No, I counted the hat.
Wait, hold on. Wait, hold on a fucking second. Pete.
Yeah. Well, let's count this again.
Can I win?
What the fuck are you doing?
One, two, three.
You've had this sitting four, here for 5 years and you haven't
five,
counted it?
Six, seven, eight.
Hold on. Hold on. No, no, no. There are two slippers there. You guessed nine?
Yeah.
I'm calling it. There's nine.
All right.
Fuck you.
All right.
End this.
You won.
What does he win? Are
would
there
you,
more quizzes?
Would you, no. Jesus.
I'm sorry we're yelling. It's just, this is truly insane.
Sure is. Sure is.
Shout out to everybody listening to this podcast on their daily commute.
Just looking, just hey, you were giving me shit about like talking about The Walking Dead being impenetrable.
Yeah. Like, would you like
the number of slippers?
Yeah.
Any of these items, or there is a the bonus item, which is a bigger item,
you
which I don't bring
do
all the way in.
You got to do the prize
yeah,
at home.
No, we're doing the bonus.
All right, I'll bring it in on Tuesday
no,
for you.
No, I think just invite him over to your house.
No, I don't want him.
I'll come there. I'll be there too.
You just want to come over to my house?
Yeah, I want to come over to your house, and he'll come, and then we'll see whatever this fucked up prize is you yeah keep in a weird part of your house.
Yeah, sure. All right.
Wow.
I'll see you at my house later.
I don't understand. Did he win or lose? Or
he
not?
Won. He won.
So
he won.
I'm not going to have
a win?
I'm yeah not going to have a chance to win any of that shit.
No, but you could just find stuff on the ground a lot. In like New York City, there's a lot of this stuff lying
well
around.
No joke, my brother has a Punisher tattoo on his arm, but he got
holy
when
shit
he was younger.
Nice.
And
is your brother a Punisher?
Does Punisher have a Punisher tattoo?
I mean, is he a Punisher?
Why did he get that, if I could ask?
Because
he likes
he
the
loved
Punisher
the Punisher. He just wow really loved the Punisher. I don't know. My brother is pretty cool.
Yeah. No, we deal with the Punisher fan on this show a lot, so we know.
I think he just really the Punisher. Anyway, yeah.
No, I don't want to interrupt you. I just want to kind of turn to Pete here for a second.
What a...
Because 5 years, 5 years of this quiz... Just kind of fizzle it out there right at the yeah end. How do you feel about everything?
How do you feel? We're going to sing a rendition of I'll Remember You by Madonna in a minute. Just as a commemorative.
Yeah. I will remember you.
That's not the
song. Till the end of time.
Will you remember me? Don't let your life pass you by.
That's how it goes.
Let's stop doing this.
We've been rehearsing this for 5 years.
Yeah, you can tell.
That's why. So we had to bring this cast of characters together.
I can't
stop
believe
knocking over
got
beers.
To be appearing in public after rehearsing that song for 5 years.
Yeah. I know. Yeah, it was like a. It was a real long con.
Yeah.
I mean,
and
yeah,
I got to mention,
Ocean's 12 style.
This is going to be a big surprise to you, Pete. But this is not Chris Hastings and Pat Castle. This is actually each of your Punishers. Slippers, yeah, wearing a human
given
costume.
Mask coming off right now.
Wow.
Sorry, I interrupted you. How are you feeling right now? This has been the culmination of 5 years.
Great. I feel great. I'm glad that he won.
That's nice.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're going to bring in the big prize next week?
Yep.
All right.
But let me ask you, what's next for you on the quiz front?
Well, we'll have to see, man.
We'll have to see what's next for Pete on the quiz front.
Yeah, we'll also have to see who unlocks the secret cipher quiz.
Okay, great.
Wait, did you actually do that?
Or do you just threaten to do that?
I don't know. We'll have to find out if somebody says the secret phrase or not.
Okay.
If it exists.
It's inside.
I would like to unlock the cipher quiz.
No. Why would I use something that easy to unlock the
That
secret?
Would be crazy.
Is it like All right. A- well, that was a lot of trivia for right now. Let's move to the next section of our show, which is trivia with...
This is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. Who would like $25 free? A simple raising of the hand.
Come down. Face the star of trivia. He's proven himself to be a quiz master.
Yes, you, Pablo. Come on down. All right. Pablo, how this is going to work is I'm going to read you a question, listen to all three possible answers, get all three questions right, $25 yours.
Real quick, Pablo, how many times have you won this before?
Oh, you've been listening to the show.
You don't have to answer that, Pablo.
No, okay, fine, get your money.
This isn't quiz show, the movie.
Okay, so today's trivia is just
Wait,
on...
Wait, so it's not rigged.
Yeah. Well, let's we'll no, get back just, to that.
There's a small audience that comes and...
Yo, Chris. Yeah.
I love that cool. movie.
Okay, yeah. Cut that. Just cut that.
Okay, so today it's trivia is on topical comic book news. So question number one. What Marvel artist is leaving Marvel after 24 years to focus on creator-owned books? Is it A, Mike Diatto?
Oops.
B, Diodato, I think.
That's
is
it. Diodato.
Sorry. Steve McNiven. Or is it C, Lane Frost? So it's either A, or you could pick B and could be completely wrong.
It's going to be completely A.
That is correct,
completely
sir.
Completely A. Great job.
The full disclosure, I'm a fan of his work, too. So.
What artist compared the end of an amazing run on Paper Girls to Old Friends? Is it A, Matt Wilson, B, Cliff Chang, or is it C, Pike?
So Who it's is Pike, by the way?
That's not relevant right now. So it's either A or you could pick B.
It has to be B.
B is correct.
B
Cliff
is
Chang.
Correct. Yeah, that's nice.
And Ooh. I'm sad that we're almost at the end of that series.
One great
30 issues, and that's going to be over.
Great book.
Yeah, amazing book. What comic title will be paying tribute to Marvel history? Is it A, Cosmic Ghost Rider Destroys Marvel History? Or B, Savage Avengers. Or it could be C, Reverend Jeremiah Cloutier. I don't know.
What?
Cloutier? Yeah, Cloutier. That is the correct pronunciation.
I don't, whoever writes this quiz is trying to
fucking get it. You can add anything for C.
Yeah. So it's either A, which is the correct answer, or you could pick B and C and be completely wrong.
Well, $25 is all I need, so it's A.
A is correct. $25 free.
Now, as frequent listeners of the podcast know, there's a secret trivia quiz going on in the middle of that trivia quiz. Mm-hmm. So the third
This is crazy. This is Inception.
It was
a quiz, and another quiz with a quiz inside of it.
Entirely out of control.
I love it.
But the third answer is always become something together.
That's right.
I know what they are. Do you, sir, know what they are?
Does anyone know?
Does anybody know? Anybody know the pattern? Can I say?
Yeah.
I'm going to guess Carnival.
No,
they are all Luke Perry roles.
That is correct.
Oh, that's so nice.
Well, yeah, rest in peace. My man, rest in peace.
He would have loved that.
Now, is he like the Riverdale role? Is that what kind of puts him in the comic world at this point?
For sure.
Yeah, though, Pete loves Luke Perry anyway.
Pete, we do a Riverdale podcast and watch the show, and Pete was like, I hate Archie. I don't want to do this. And then he found out that Luke Perry was in the role as Archie's dad, Fred Anders, and Pete was like, I'll do this, but I'm going to call him Luke Perry the entire time and not refer to him by name as his character's name.
That's right.
Yeah, there we go. On that note, we should mention that tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
Ooh, I am looking forward to Paper Girls. Number 26 is coming up. They're wrapping up this amazing run. I'm excited to see how it wraps up.
Tell us about that comic briefly.
Paper Girls?
Yeah.
Well,
so it's like paper dolls who walk around?
No. It's about these girls who have a paper route in the 80s, I believe it starts, but it kind of time jumps.
Right. Time travel.
And so we've been kind of on this amazing adventure with these ladies, and a lot of crazy stuff has gone down.
Yes.
And hopefully they'll be able to get back to their time and defeat the bad guys who all use Apple products.
Yeah, interesting way to end that, sort of a takedown.
Dude, in terms of the question, like property that would be a good comic book, Paperboy, the video game.
Oh, nice.
Well, that's good. Yeah, because that Paperboy had to deal with some fucked up stuff.
Yeah. Wizards and tornadoes. Anyway, a murderer randomly running out of the street wielding a knife.
Yeah.
Actually, just wizards, just those two things.
Yeah.
It's a very specific
thing. Are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to Die Number 4 from Image Comics by Kieran Gillen. And I forget the artist's name, but it's truly great. Great comic about a bunch of kids who are pulled into a Dungeons & Dragons type world, and a bunch of fucked up stuff happens. Then we meet them as adults, and they get pulled back in by their friend they left behind. And it's really great. I hope it runs for 100 issues.
Also, the art is amazing.
The art is very good.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to Ronin Island Number 1 from Boom Studios. That's from Greg Pak coming out tomorrow.
Great writer.
Very excited about that book. Basically about an island with Ronin, as you can probably guess. Mm. But there's some weird post-apocalyptic stuff going through it, some mythology stuff going through it. We're going to have a review in the Stack podcast going up tomorrow, as well as for Die. So definitely check that out. Plug your stuff again. Chris, what should people check out?
Sure. Well, I got the $6 Million Man coming out tomorrow.
Very exciting.
It's a fresh new take on the character. I just wanted to make a fun adventure book, and I think we got it.
All right. Yeah, I agree. Pat, what should people check out from you?
Full Frontal with Samantha Bee. Wednesdays, 10:30 on TBS. Coming in April, not the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
Nice.
All right. Very cool. Definitely.
And my DJ career.
Oh, yes.
And where can we find you?
Yeah, where's your SoundCloud?
I'm still working on that, but I'll let you know.
Oh, it's early. Yeah. It's early on.
Yeah, keep us posted. Guys, thank you so much. A couple of things, that we want to plug before we go. We do have a regular Riverdale podcast called Riverdale After Dark. Also, we have a Deadly Class podcast called Deadly Cast that you can check out. Also, the show is free to come see and free to listen to, but it does cost us a little bit of money to do. Patreon.com/comicbookclub. You get exclusive access to our nonstop Bacon Dunness chat that's going on in the Patreon Slack right now.
Let me just elaborate on that. By Bacon Dunness, we mean like some people like really crispy, like if you shattered a glass on the edge of a table.
All right, buddy.
And that's like poison. That's like eating dirt in a way.
No.
And a lot of other people like smartly cooked, paid attention to bacon that is like a medium rare.
Sure. Yeah.
Yes.
Similarly,
exactly.
I mean, this is
absolutely
interesting to bring
why
up.
Is this a discussion?
A contrary opinion, one might say, is a nice crispy bacon that really crumbles and melts in your mouth.
The word crumbles is not what food should do in your mouth.
Versus a big pile of fucking trichinosis.
You might as well just get bacon bits.
Thank you.
You might as well just get bacon bits and sprinkle them on whatever.
Yeah, that sounds good too.
No.
Anyway, subscribe to our Patreon. Pete, what else do you want to plug?
Oh, friend us on Facebook so you get to know about the amazing guests we have on our live show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live. And honestly, choose healthier options than bacon.
Check us out at comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more, though. Honestly, I don't know why you would after the show. A couple of people we want to thank. We want to thank Chris and Pat for being on the show.
Yeah.
Booth Matt Prime. But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Totally free. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Good night,
guys.
Everybody. Thank you.